You're listening to Ecto Portal, a journey into the unknown with Anthony Anderson and Verna Wilson.
I hope that you are seated comfortably with the light turned down and the curtains drawn.
Once again to Ecto Portal, another journey into the unexplored, the unexplained, and the unknown. I'm Anthony Anderson, your host, and I'm here with my co-host,
Verna Wilson.
And today we have an exciting show. It's local. It's not San Francisco, but it is the Bay Area. It's Oakland, and it is the Cursed Piedmont Death Baths of Oakland.
And I don't think That's been covered too much.
I've never heard that covered before.
There are a lot of haunted places in Oakland that people haven't covered.
Yeah, this is an interesting story. So it's a little local history. The building lasted for years, part of the building in this particular area of Oakland. And those that live in this neighborhood in Oakland, you will be a little bit shocked, but you'll have a little more knowledge of the history of this particular spot.
And there are some parts of Oakland you walk through, and it's like a little time warp. Some neighborhoods.
Yeah, it is. Oakland's weird, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
San Francisco's kind of like that with our pockets, but Oakland has a lot of
Oakland
that.
Oakland is really weird. Yeah. I really have these pockets of these little time warps, these old neighborhoods. Yeah.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you cross the street and you're back in modern times. It's really weird with Oakland. Yep. Yeah.
So what have you done lately?
Well, actually, besides spending the time with my boyfriend and watching him play, he plays in a group. He's a drummer. We walked around Tilden Park, and it was really cold that day. And we went and walked around and saw the farm animals. And the only farm animals that really came out that day were these cows. They have cows there, and they have a bull there, too. And the cows came out because people were bringing food to eat, like celery for them. So the cows really wanted the celery. So they came out for the celery. And then after they ate the celery, I don't think they were too interested after that. You know, there was kids petting them. And, you know, they're very gentle animals. But we were walking around.
So it isn't a zoo. It's like a petting zoo?
No, it's Tilden. Well, Tilden Park has farm animals.
Okay, so it's a farm.
It's like a little farm zoo thing. I guess it's kind of like a petting zoo. Yeah. They have sheep there. They have pigs. They have cows, and they have goats. And you know, a lot of the animals. It was very cold that day, so the animals didn't really want to come out very much. Yeah. The sheep came out and stared at everybody, and I pet a couple of them. They were really cute. I love touching their wool is what I like to do.
I want a sweater. Sweater.
Something like that.
Can you be my sweater?
I love the feel of their wool fur. But there was a large pig hiding in his barn, and the kids were trying, and people were trying to coax him out, going, "Here, piggy. He wasn't interested, even with, and I think people had celery to feed them.
Bacon! Come on, Bacon.
He just wasn't interested. He was sleeping in his little cubbyhole, his barn with all the straw.
I want a BLT. Get out of here.
But can you imagine, though, there are people all day wanting to pet you. I would be hiding, too, after a while.
I had my petting max for the day.
I was really cold that day, and I turned around and I told my boyfriend. Cute, oh, they're cute. Oh, I love pigs. I love all animals, but... You know, the pig, I turned around to my boyfriend. I said, you know, he's hiding back there because it's really cold. I said, I don't blame him. I'd be hiding back there, too.
Keep warm.
Yeah, so it was fun. You know, some of the animals came out and they were curious, and then some of them just went back into their little hideouts, and I don't blame them. I would too. It was too cold.
It's cold. That's what I would do.
Yeah. So that's just, you know, nothing exciting. Just watching the boyfriend play and going to different places.
That's fun.
Yeah. What about you?
As you know, I'm going to Germany and Prague in July with Dave Schrader.
Lucky you.
Dave Schrader, who's in a lot of paranormal shows.
Yeah.
Oh, good. One of his tours. I've gone on his tours before. It's about 10, 12 days. We're also going to hit Nuremberg before. But I was thinking, as an investigator, because we're going to go on a several investigations in some castles and stuff, that I'm thinking, okay, Germany and Prague, it's trigger, so I'm going to have to learn a few basic German words, maybe for EVP communication. Maybe play a little German music to get some trigger.
You know, I found German was kind of easy to learn, and the reason why is because I was watching some films that were made in Germany. Mm-hmm. And when you watch them after a while, and you do see the subtitles and everything, you start to understand it because some of the words are very close to English.
Well, I was going to say that German is the closest language to English out of all of the other languages.
Yeah.
So you go.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of words are similar or very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I would love to visit Germany someday. So, lucky you.
Lots of castles, which I love. Castles are my favorite thing no matter what country I go to.
I'd love to visit castles. I would love to.
Because I love to dip off on my own and do a little EVP recording, take photographs, little videos. So I'm going to have to bone up on my history of Germany so I can learn a few words. And, you know, when I was in Romania, I was learning a few words, but I didn't really get a chance to do any EVPs anywhere. Which is too bad, but we didn't have a lot of places that we were able to do that. So Germany's different, so that'll be different.
That'll be different, yeah. And you're going to be going on a tour. But I have a question about castles, since you enjoy visiting them so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are the guided castles that people go to, but what about the castles that are in these different countrysides, like Romania or Ireland? And they don't really have tours. And can you go in them? But you have to be very careful. I mean, wouldn't they be falling apart?
Well, no, it all depends. If they're historic castles, and they could be owned by a particular rich family, but they've been donated in trust to the country for tourism, and they're upkept by the ticket sales and whatever that keep up the castles, so that they don't fall over. Some of the castles are historic homes, and they were a castle, but the family has enough money to bring them up to what
they should
be. Oh, yeah,
there's some castles that the family still owns. Yeah.
And I found out, my favorite show of all time, it's an old show, it's been on, it was on for like 15 years, it was called Time Team, it's in a British show, where the archaeologists have 3 days at each place to solve a mystery. Was this, you know, from the medieval times?
Sure.
Was this from, you know, the Tudor times, whatever, they uncover stuff and they map it out.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular instance, they had a castle, this is one I saw recently, where people lived in it. It was their house.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to decide. There was not enough history. Was it a real castle? Or did someone build it to look like a castle? Because I guess in different parts of England, they used to do that. Before the Victorian times, they would build their house to look like a castle.
To look like.
So they had to go through and decide, is this real? And they found out parts of the structure were a real castle. The add-on was for a home. So they kind of had a 50-50. So it's interesting you should ask that question because that happens a lot. There was one in, I think it was England that we went to, a very famous house. And a castle, but it was a castle, but it's just this people's home, but they let tourism in during the day. It was really strange. But a lot of them, that's how they keep them up, because they have to bring the money
in. They have to keep it up, the estate. Yeah. And also, you know, you think about the standard of living has changed. Of course it has, but
it's expensive.
It's expensive, but also these big castles, they were used as war fortresses at first, but an old castle, if you were not to modernize it, is very drafty. I mean, they had huge fireplaces and stuff, but
an example would be when I investigated Lepp Castle in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
A guy bought it in 1991 for like $1 million, him and his wife, and they're like in their 60s.
Oh, wow.
and there was no roof. It was the basically the wall structure and some of the inside walls.
That's what you call a fixer-upper.
And there were staircases, but there was pieces of the floor missing, pieces of the wall, the whole ceiling. He slowly sectioned off and lived in the castle as they restored the whole thing. They gave it a new roof.
Oh, interesting.
They restored the walls.
So I'd be into a project like that.
And you could go in and visit. You'll sit with him by the fire. He'll tell you stories. He'll actually ask your name and tell you your heritage.
Really?
Around England and Ireland and Scotland. What tribe you're from. And then he'll tell you
stories. I know a little bit about my heritage.
He'll also play
my last name, yeah.
He'll play some music for you while you're there by the fire. And then you can go explore the castle.
I would love that.
They live in it, too.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's another example.
Did he tell you something about your heritage?
Scottish. Anderson from Scotland.
Yeah.
And then we drifted down into Ireland.
Do you know your tartan and what your
I do.
Your clan name is?
I have it. Anderson.
Yeah, my tartan, Wilson's tartan is from the Gunn clan.
Oh, okay.
And we have our tartan too. And apparently the Gunn clan were a bunch of, got into a lot of conflicts with people. You know,
you're a Gunn clan. What are the odds of that? Huh?
We were always, we were a bunch of fighters, always arguing with everybody. But but I wouldn't mind having my own tartan, getting some stuff and getting a scarf or skirt or something in my own tartan, you know.
But, representation.
Yeah, very cool.
So, so I want to make sure I get enough trigger stuff when I go to Germany, so when I go to the castles, I can do some investigation. So, I've been thinking about that lately and figuring out what I'm going to do, so.
Very cool.
It'll be fun. It's coming up. All right, so how about we go on to the paranormal news?
Let's go on to the news.
All right. All right, welcome to the paranormal news.
You know, I thought this news was actually recent, but it's not. It actually came out in March of last year. Oh. So forgive me, but it's still news. So let's go
Interesting.
Ahead. Let's go into it. It's called Devil Dolls, and it's all about a doll painting and that was cursed. So cursed that this person's pet died and a plague of insects infected the home when he bought it.
Oh, lovely.
You know,
how much did he buy it for? Does it say?
It doesn't say, okay. But you know, it makes me wonder if they just didn't look into the home enough when they bought it. You know.
Yeah.
But his name is Dan Smith, and he said that it was a bad decision to buy that painting because it cost him sleep, it cost him his health and his peace of mind.
Yeah.
And he found it in an eBay listing.
Ooh.
And he ignored a warning from a flea market stallholder that no good can come from the painting. So now he's trying to get rid of it, and he claims that he'll go crazy if it stays in his house. So he said, as a collector of weird stuff, he was struck by the strangeness of the painting. He says it looked adorable with two innocent dolls portrayed in it, but, you know, he said that the stallholder was right. There was something wrong with it.
Creepy painting.
Yeah. So he says, I don't know whose cursed blood was mixed in with this painting, but the powers are strong. It shows an old-fashioned doll and a rag doll on a peaceful green background, which reminded me of spring, of rebirth. I'm going to say something about this doll. Folks, if you go to our Ectoportal page, the article is in there.
The Facebook page.
Yeah, the Facebook page. Go ahead and scroll down, and the article's in there. This doll is actually a Madame Alexander doll, because when I was a little girl, I was into Madame Alexander dolls, and I used to see dolls that looked exactly like this behind the glass case.
Yep.
So I know that kind of doll that the person painted. So
just doesn't mean it isn't cursed.
Doesn't mean it's cursed. So
that, doesn't mean it's not.
No. It just right. But it just. I'm just saying. Side note. I know that doll.
You know that doll. Yeah.
Yeah. But he said that after a few days, he was wrong because he was wrong that it was a sweet little painting. He said that. His ability to sleep went, his pet, his health, his peace of mind. And he said, if the painting doesn't go away, his sanity's going to go. So this was a year ago, so I'm hoping he got rid of the painting by then. So he's based in the U.S., which I'm not surprised because the doll was a U.S. doll.
Okay.
And he said that that he hit a losing streak as soon as he took the artwork home. He said he felt chills. He later woke up to find an insect crawling over his face, and he found a crack in the wall with maggots and adult insects crawling out from behind. Ew.
The hell does he live in, a mausoleum?
Really? Maggots? Ew. How would a home get
is
maggots?
Is this the guy that stayed in the mausoleum with that baroness vampire
lady? The
baroness
lady?
Insects and maggots coming out of the walls with a crap bucket?
Well, they didn't say insects or maggots came out of that wall. But anyway, folks, go listen to the baroness episode.
Last week.
Yeah, last week. But anyway, he said he also found his hamster dead with the insects wriggling out of its mouth.
Ew.
And he said that he's been unable to sleep for 5 days. He's plagued with sickness. And so people were asking him why not destroy it. And he said that, you know, setting the painting on fire could, you know, rid the world of it. But it could also unleash the evil. So he's not sure that burning it would make things worse. And he says he doesn't want to risk it. So he said he'd rather sell it to somebody who doesn't even believe the story, or even scarier, some brave soul who does.
It's not that good of a painting, I'm just going to tell you right now.
Well, you know what? After the article, who's going to buy it now?
There are people who buy it.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. But it's kind of...
So the painting's believed...
It looks very average to me, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't think it's like...
It's not
a master painting or interesting. It's just two dolls sitting there.
Yeah.
So anyway, the painting is believed to date from 1967. It's signed with the scrawled initials MNP. And he says it could stand for many nightmares and phobias. And the auction starts at $50. And the seller adds, but before you bid, you've been warned. So
he's trying to unload it.
Yeah.
I wonder if he ever did.
We'll
have to find out.
I don't know. So anyway,
would you buy it? You wouldn't buy it.
No, I don't want it.
I wouldn't want it because I don't want another painting. I mean, it's
and
ugly.
Here's the details of it and everything.
I find it an ugly painting. I wouldn't want it. Anyway.
I wouldn't want it
now,
anyway.
Now, what are your beliefs about? We've had this discussion before about haunted objects. I don't put a lot of credence into cursed objects.
I don't either.
Because I think you have to give it power to get what you're looking for. If you think it's cursed, it's because you've given it energy and you want it to be cursed.
Well, you know...
To me, it's an object. It's a bad painting.
Yeah.
He wants to unload it.
And I think that he probably shouldn't have made a house inspection. And
yeah, where the hell does this guy live?
Maggots in your house? I
in
mean,
the
in
walls?
In your walls?
And if there's bugs crawling out of your dead hamster's
mouth? Call the exterminator.
Mouth, how long did your hamster lay there dead before you found it with bugs crawling out of its mouth?
Ew. Well, you know, let's put it this way. I collect antique books.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I'm looking through the book, I do feel the presence of the former person who owned it. Especially with some of the children's books, because the child who owned it really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So and some of the adult ones too.
So you do have some belief in objects.
I do have some belief in objects having energy, because I've felt it in the antique books. But
who's to say that painting, whoever painted it or owned it before, didn't have a lot of bad luck, or they had a lot of bad energy, and it's attached to the painting.
Right, exactly. So anyway, I have felt energy before, but usually good energy, because the book was well loved, and I'm kind of proud that I'm the one who owns it now.
Yeah.
Because I would put the book to good use.
Have you ever had a book? Here's a quite offshoot question.
Okay.
About that. Have you ever bought a book where you got bad, negative sort of feelings from one?
From a book? No.
Okay.
No.
But you think that's a possibility.
I think it's a
possibility. But you wouldn't have bought it, right? Would you, when you buy books, do you look at them, handle them?
I do.
Open them and
I
decide,
do
I want
buy,
this?
I would, if I wanted the book enough, I would buy it anyway.
So you almost put it through a medium's perspective when you buy a book, old
yeah.
book.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I can feel the book. And sometimes even before...
Have you ever felt one
I've
and
never
put
told
it back?
Anybody this.
Have you ever felt one and put it back?
Not because of bad energy.
Okay.
Just because I just feel that... Whatever was connected with it, I'm not connected with it. But this is something I've never told anybody, and I'm not going to take too long on this, but I do actually, even before I go near books, if I'm drawn to a certain book or I'm drawn to a certain shelf, I'll go there in an antique section.
Mm-hmm.
Because something's drawing me to the book. And then sometimes when I buy the book, I read it, I realize that it was a book that was meant to come in my life for that reason.
So that's how you choose books.
You trust
a lot
your
of the
instincts.
Time,
I trust my instincts. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I was just curious if you ever had any negative energy.
Not with books, but I can tell you this, and then I'll let you go on to your article. when I've been in a thrift store and I've seen photo albums in a thrift store, I've sensed really negative stuff behind the photo albums.
Oh, so real people's photographs in an antique store.
And there was one time I actually was in a thrift store in the Mission, and I was walking and I saw these photos of these people, and I opened it. And all of a sudden, I wanted to burst out crying. My hands started shaking. And my sister was with me, and she said, "Oh, are you ready to leave?" I said, "Let's get out of here."
Wow.
But that's the most I've ever felt something from an object.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now
definitely
what do you have?
Definitely empathic for materials.
Right.
Now, my article is about something I'm not a total believer about. It's the Ouija board.
There was
28 schoolgirls sent to the hospital in Colombia because they used a Ouija board.
Wow, 28 of them. That's a lot of people using it.
All of them required hospitalization, and some of their parents say it's the Ouija board that's to blame. It occurred last month in the town of Galeras when students began fainting, various symptoms related to anxiety. It swept through the school and ultimately led to all the girls being taken to the hospital to get treated. They were always looking for answers. What could have caused the event? One unlikely suspect emerged as several parents suggested that maybe the girls fell ill after playing with the Ouija board. It's uncertain, of course, if the claims are genuine or result of rumors spreading throughout the community. The head of the school tried to squelch the supernatural suspicions by way of a video message that he said, a series of comments were unleashed on the community that, rather than helping solve the situation, led to confusion and adverse environment for our work. It's not the first time that a Ouija board has been blamed for causing Colombian school children to become sick, as an eerily similar case occurred last November of 2022, when another dozen students collapsed after they said they played with the infamous cardboard and plastic device. Now, you know my thoughts about
Ouija board. I
know. I
do know
your
thoughts about
cardboard and plastic. It is what you put into it. You get out of it. It doesn't mean you won't get results.
Right.
I'm not saying that.
Right.
You get out of it what you put into it.
That's true.
And if you want demons and horror, and I'm sure 28 schoolgirls all wanted the devil to come through.
Well, you know, also at that age, if they were schoolgirls, at that age, in adolescence, that's when your clairvoyant powers are extra.
Oh, yeah.
Are extra
PK
bouncing off
is
the
high,
walls.
Your preteens.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine all this kinetic energy?
So I'm kind of not surprised it happened because, you know, at that age, and especially 28 of them, with all the energy that they bring in.
Yeah. Although it reminded me a little bit of The Crucible.
Oh, The Crucible. Oh, yeah.
Because you had young girls all doing something silly.
Right.
They weren't supposed to do. Naughty, get in trouble. It's exciting. It's dangerous. And then something happens, and they all get in hysterics.
They all get in hysterics.
And then one gets pulled in. You tell us what happened. And they're like, oh my God, do I tell them and get us in trouble? Or do I make shit up?
Shows you people haven't changed,
no.
Really.
No, little girls, teenage girls haven't changed. So you make shit up. And so-and-so saw me there.
And
so she was there with you, dancing in the woods.
And you remember the movie The Craft?
Yes.
Of course, a lot of Wiccans I know, witches and witches, Wiccans and witches I know used to call it The Craft. Because they didn't like the ideal of Hollywood, you know.
Of course not.
But anyway, they did show adolescent girls tuning into their powers and gifts, and things start going off the wall. But I do believe it can happen that if at that age, if you tune into it enough,
who's
things
to
can
say
start
the Crucible
to...
was? I mean, obviously that was a fictional, based on the situations of witch trials. But who's to say some of the witch trials weren't just young preteen kinetic energy.
Exactly.
Crazy stuff happens.
Crazy stuff happens.
And then they think they're witches.
Unfortunately, it happened at the wrong time and the wrong atmosphere.
So I think these 28 girls had a lot of PK kinetic energy using a Ouija board, freaking each other out.
But they had to be hospitalized.
Well,
I mean, why?
You could have over-religious parents, Columbia, saying, oh my God, she might be possessed. We have to take her to the hospital, make sure she's okay.
But to be hospitalized, don't you have to be like really
panic
sick
attacks,
or something?
They said anxiety. They were fainting.
Okay, anxiety, fainting, right.
Hard to say. It was not enough details, but I don't know. I don't know. I think hysteria is catchable. I think you can...
It can be catchable.
If you're hysterical, you can make someone else hysterical and vice versa.
Or if you were scared and the stress stayed with you, you can develop anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's hard, but I put it in the same category as the Crucible, that kind of stuff. That it's,
right.
It's preteen, young, angst. Unusual things happen with that kinetic energy. It's a poltergeist to come out of that.
That's true.
So who's to say? But yeah, the Ouija board to me, cardboard and plastic, it's a fun to use. And it's interesting what you can get sometimes. But I don't put a lot of... I don't think there's 12 spirits in there waiting to get out when you use it.
I also don't recommend somebody who... And I know you're going to probably think I'm being superstitious. But I don't recommend somebody who's never... who's unfamiliar with this whole thing to really use an Ouija board on their own, because they're unleashing something that they don't know either.
See, but you have to buy into that.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you have to buy into it.
No, I think you do.
No, I don't. And the reason I say that is because...
It's like voodoo. You have to give it power.
No. I don't believe that, Tony.
I agree to disagree.
You can agree to disagree. I feel that if somebody... has something in them, I feel it can come out anyway, whether you believe in it or not.
Okay.
But that's okay. It's all cool. Right. Well, if I'd be interested to hear what everybody else thinks, if somebody else wants to give their point of view.
That's right.
And that's why me and Tony make a good team, because we agree to disagree, but we don't make a big stink out of it.
Nope, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. That's the paranormal news. Okay, so this time around, we actually have a local story here in the Bay Area. Cursed Piedmont Death Baths of Oakland, California. I'm going to give you a little bit of history of the actual baths.
Sure.
And the property. And then we'll get into what happened and some of the stuff afterwards.
Okay.
So the Piedmont Baths was a large, swimming complex located at Bay Place and Vernon Avenue in Oakland. It was built in 1890 during the Victorian era. Now, you got to think, this predates San Francisco's Sutro Baths.
Interesting.
By about 8 years. So Sutro had... Playland at the Beach wasn't there. The Cliff House was there in Land's End here in San Francisco. So this predates that. This predates the earthquake. This predates Sutro Baths. It was a large brick building, had galleries, dressing rooms, hot tubs, massage areas, even a cafe. It was originally built by local developers hoping to drum up interest from San Francisco residents for something to do.
Actually sounds kind of nice.
Yeah, before the great earthquake. Keep in mind this was 1890, like I said, before Sutro Baths. The attraction featured sky-high diving boards into a 120 by 70-foot enameled swimming tank. On weekends, locals could pay to see fancy swimming and high diving, live music, breakneck trapeze acts, and 100-yard maiden races.
Wow. Fancy swimming. Now, what would be fancy swimming? Like?
In unison, maybe...
kind of like what those ladies used to do.
They make pirouette. There's circles and flowers. You know what?
I don't think people do that anymore.
No, they don't.
Wow.
But that would be fancy swimming.
That might be kind of fun.
That'd be fancy swimming, Verna.
I wouldn't mind watching that.
Okay. So after it opened, an invention called the Worthington Pump was used to siphon water 3 feet from below the center of Lake Merritt. Now, today you all know Lake Merritt for having that nasty algae. It's gross. Things dying in it. This is back 100 years ago. So in the center of Lake Merritt is where they got their water 3 feet down.
When it was nice.
Better.
When it was better. Fresh.
Yeah. The water sucked into the reservoir and it was boiled at 212 degrees so that the germs and disease couldn't lurk in the baths.
Oh, wow. Okay. Clever. Okay.
It was poured into a cooling tank before passing through large filters leading to the baths.
I could imagine it would be.
Yep. It was decided after experiments that the saline waters were in fact pure. In May 1898, a bath attendant employee was mortified to discover the scalded body of a 48-year-old bartender, Gustave Jonagan, laying flat on the marble slab.
Oh.
His burns were so severe that when he was sent to the coroner and they touched his skin, it literally peeled off.
Oh.
The coroner was confused and decided his death was caused by the bath's hot waters and that he somehow took poison.
Well, somebody was.
So he didn't really know.
They didn't really know, no.
But something burned his skin. It was peeling off. So in 1901, a 22-year-old business student named James Ferguson and his three buddies went to the bathhouse around 8 o'clock p.m., jumped off the pool stands and springboards into the clean, cool, saline water. Ferguson was flailing his arms, and his friends noticed as he shouted for help from the deep end. They ignored him, thinking, oh, he's just kidding around. He wasn't kidding.
Oh, wow.
He sank to the bottom, came up for air quickly, only to vanish underwater a second time.
Oh.
An attendant realized he was drowning and dove in after him. Now, when they pulled Ferguson out, he came to only once quickly and then passed out again, dying right before them.
Yikes.
The doctor arrived and claimed he died of a heart attack, but he couldn't figure out a logical reason as to why he had the heart attack.
Because he was known as a healthy person before. Yeah. Well, of course, if you're going to be swimming and doing all that stuff.
So the bathhouse of death was far from over. In 1909, so this would be a year later, four boys drowned at the Piedmont Baths within the same year.
Ooh.
Oakley Fitzpatrick, John Tangai, George Rapold, and Roland Bruce Payne. 16-year-old John Tangai, who supported his widowed mother, drowned in front of a large crowd of bathers who watched in helpless horror as he fell 15 feet from a slide. He launched himself off the slide, knocked himself unconscious, and hit the shallow waters of the tank, but it was too late when they brought him up.
Yikes.
From the bottom. Now, Roland Bruce Payne, his father, stormed into the baths early in the morning and demanded that the staff help him search for his missing son because he didn't come home.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't...
And he figured his son would be there?
Yep. Well, he was looking everywhere. The employees claimed to not have seen him at the baths. The father searched the dressing rooms and discovered his son's clothes sitting in a corner, balled up.
Oh, wow. He must have known that he frequented that place.
Yep. They soon arrived at the swimming tank and they suddenly stopped. The day before was so crowded, nobody noticed that Payne had sunk to the bottom of the pool after jumping off the diving board. Payne's body was brought up. Now, coroners were outraged now and claimed negligence from the staff of the bathhouse, of course. The owners, meanwhile, got more and more wealthy from the Piedmont Baths. In October of 1927, so we're talking 20 years later, 18 years later, firefighters were called to a huge fire on the corner of Bay Place and Vernon. It was visible from miles away. Hundreds of people gathered to watch the event. When firemen rushed inside the flames, reached the mezzanine, and burst the glass roof, caused it to melt and fell before them in a pile of burnt timber and ashes. And now, you know what's interesting is the Sutro Baths.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they did their swimming period. It was kind of shut down. Museum was closed.
Yes,
it was ice skating rink for
a
while.
I remember that.
Into the 60s, it was like roller skating and ice skating.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, it was shut down because they didn't know what to do with it. And suddenly, mysteriously, there's a fire.
Oh, yeah.
And it collapsed. Oh, yeah. The roof melted. The glass roof melted. Crowds watched it happen. Very similar situations
here. You know,
here.
It makes me wonder, they didn't have building inspections or inspections back then to make sure everything was safe. And maybe they should have had more inspections before they opened to the public. And all these accidents might have been avoided.
Yeah. When the fire was put out, damages were estimated at $73,000 to $1.2 million in today's currency.
Wow.
The bathhouse closed permanently. William Boole surveyed the damage and claimed he would rebuild the pool with new apartments on top. Now, Boole mysteriously died 2 years later, and the rebuild never happened. 100 years after the young boys died at the baths, the site is now the site of Lake Merritt Whole Foods parking lot.
That's interesting. Okay.
One has to wonder, is there any activity in the Whole Foods store at night, in the parking lot, any sightings? Now, as if the site didn't see enough death, on October 4th of 2021, so year and a half ago.
You know, forever in that area. We should drive there. We should we should drive over there and walk around and maybe see if we can get some activity.
So like a year and a half ago, a Whole Foods employee was shot outside the store in the parking lot. The 30-year-old employee was in the parking lot around 8:40 p.m. in his car when he was shot by someone he couldn't see. His car was also hit by bullets. He made his way back into the store, and the police were called. The motive was unknown. The question is the location of the Piedmont Baths cursed? Is it interesting in comparison to Sutro? Both seem to burn for insurance, maybe. No proof for either one, either way. Sutro had its own ghost stories told by late-night security guards after the baths closed down, before it was torched.
But this one, not necessarily.
Well, we don't know. Whoever works at Whole Foods in Oakland at this particular spot, the parking lot. I mean, there used to be a car barn, I guess, there before Whole Foods there. But you got to think about the water, because it's coming from Lake Merritt. And they're having all kinds of... They're finding crazy things in Lake Merritt's water. Like
I've heard about that, yeah.
And stuff during lockdown. And you really got to wonder what's coming up from the ground in Lake Merritt.
Well, that's what
maybe this is what's caused all that.
Well, that's what they didn't really have safety inspections that they do now.
No.
So, and you know how it is that people are even skeptical of tap water, even in the Bay Area here.
Yeah.
But we have the best tap water,
but we test it.
It's very good. I still drink a glass of water from here and it doesn't bother me. But they have to inspect the water to make sure it's safe for everybody.
Yeah.
And they have what's called OSHA, which means a building inspections.
Yeah.
And then they have...
They have to go through that whole testing period.
Rigorous. And the whole testing period. And then, you know, testing the water, they have to. So if they would have had the standards then that they do now, I bet you it would have been way fewer accidents. But I'm not surprised that...
But you got to realize, science-wise, some of that may not have existed then.
That's exactly it.
You know what I mean?
If they did have it, that's what...
Because I think it's weird that one had a heart attack, one, his skin was burned and peeling.
Right.
The other one's passed out.
But then there were people who did it, swam there all the time, and it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, so it could be a weird allergic reaction.
That's true, too.
People have. Yeah. Maybe there's algae in the water they didn't know about. You know, it could be anything.
Could be anything, yeah.
It could be cursed.
And it also not necessarily the water, but the building, too. I mean, there's if you get water coming from a lake and you have a building built there, mold... There's mold and stuff like that in bacteria.
Who's to say? It's things they couldn't see that could be growing there.
Right, exactly.
It could be anything. I mean, I just found it interesting compared to Sutro Baths, because that was 8 years later, and they kind of had the same ending, the same fate.
The big fire, the mystery. Fire.
Is it insurance? Did he collect the insurance? But then the one guy died 2 years later.
Right.
And obviously Sutro died before that ever burned down. But
So they just assumed that the parking lot could be cursed because that something happened. But that doesn't But then in the area where there's... It's known for violent crimes.
Yeah.
It's...
A shooting in the parking lot would not be unheard of.
Doesn't mean anything, yeah.
No, but it's interesting local history. I can imagine anybody who lives there, when you go into Whole Foods, you're like, wow, okay, now this is what happened.
You know,
here.
Sometimes when I walk into a building or a place, I can feel something around the place. And it makes me wonder, if I walk through there, would I feel something?
I would love to investigate Whole Foods at night after it closed.
If they'll let us.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
But
then you got the parking lot. I mean...
We can walk through during the day and feel something. So
yeah. But it's interesting. Like I said, the car barn's next door.
I wonder what the workers say about it. The people who work there.
Yeah, if anybody works at Whole Foods at this particular
we'd like
store
to hear
in
from
Oakland,
you. Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you if you have any experiences or have any stories. Maybe you didn't know about the Piedmont Baths.
Yeah. Please send us an email. Go ahead and tell them the email address.
Yep, ectoportal@gmail.com.
Yep.
And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know more.
Or post it on the Facebook page or the website, opinion.
Yep. Or we'll get a hold of you if you want to email us to be on the show.
Sure.
We could talk about it.
We'll talk about it. Yeah.
Yep. So I just thought it was interesting that, you know, me digging local history, I'll stumble across stuff. So
there's a lot of local history to dig, and I think that you find it from sources a lot of people don't look. So expect more people.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Always. All right, folks, that's another episode of Ecto Portal. I hope you enjoyed this macabre episode.
And we will be seeing you next week with another subject.
Absolutely.
It's just as thought-provoking.
Exactly. So we'll see you next week, folks. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Music by Mark Vandermeulen and theme by Ross Bugden.
Be sure to visit us at www.ectoportal.com. Check out our archives on YouTube and head on over for new episodes to ectoportal.podbean.com.